As Pastor said earlier, the message tonight is stuff, stuff, and more stuff. He asked me the other day what I'm going to do, and I said stuff, stuff, and more stuff. It just came to my mind, especially after this past holiday season. As Pastor said, the Walmart had a great conglomerate of people shopping there. But I remember growing up, when my kids were small, my mom decided to get them all VeggieTales. And as I was working on my message, I remember there's this one VeggieTale that I thought really had a good good topic about, as Pastor said this morning, greed. And so I want to show you a just a short 1 minute video clip of a song from Madam Blueberry and the Stuff Mart, or as they call it, Stuff Mart. We'll play it for you now.
Refrigerators to keep extra mashed potatoes, or a giant air compressor to blow fruit pies off your dresser, or a dehydrated strudel, or a nose ring for your poodle, or a 5-pound can of tuna and some flippers to go scuba. Scuba, scuba, scooby dooby dooba, here we go, scuba. Come on.
If you need a rubber hose,
we got those.
A rhododendron tree,
we got three.
A wraparound deck,
gotta check. But if you need a window scraper and a gross of toilet paper, or a ratchet set in pliers and surround sound amplifiers and a solar turkey chopper or a padded gopher popper, flannel shirts for looking grungy and some rope for going bungee. Bungee, 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 bungee. Here we go, bungee. Come on.
So I know we laugh at that, but instead of having little videos like that for us to watch, they send inserts in the newspaper. And so we have them poured over our kitchen table, making marks. I know you do that because we do it. So we mark it on the table. Except I don't shop Black Friday. There's nothing I need that bad. So I like to stay home and sleep. But Pastor, I was telling that, he's like, hey, I have got this poem for you that you have to share. So here's this poem. It's very, very good. It says, got tons of stuff, I do declare. House stuffed with stuff everywhere. Stuff inside my closet door. Lots of stuff on the floor. My stuffy garage is filled with stuff. Secret stuff. Pretty stuff. Crazy stuff. Stuff expensive. Stuff so cheap. Stuff I found on the street. At yard sales, I find stuff. I can't seem to get enough. Boxes of stuff from the ceiling to the floor. Stuff I don't need anymore. Tons of stuff I must have about. Stuff I could never do without. Rooms filled with stuff I don't know why. So much stuff that I could cry. What do I do with so much stuff? Life would get very tough. Where did all this stuff come from? I collect this stuff just for fun. I need all this stuff, don't you see? Does all this stuff belong to me? Stuff your pockets with shirt is stuffy. Your stuffy pants looking puffy. Stuff your face, stuff your hat. In your pocket, stuff your cat. Stuff your shoes, stuff your socks. Stuff your pillow with all you got. How did all this stuff get here? Stuff is here. Stuff is there. Stuff your mouth full of stuff. Tasty stuff can't get enough. I can't live without my stuff. That's tough stuff, friend. Where does all this stuff end? How much do I pay for all this stuff? I must stuff my pockets full of cash. I wish my pocketbook was stuffed. Stuff follows me down the street and sits at my door at my feet. Stuff sneaks into my house late at night. And stuff itself's out of sight. Come early morning, what do I see? Mountains of stuff surrounding me. I am sick of stuff. I have enough. I think I will take this poem and stuff it. Now, besides that poem being so long, it was long, but it's all about stuff. And we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn there. That poem was by Bobby Marbles Mobley. He must not have sold a lot of stuff. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're going to read the first 15 verses here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity, and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun, the end of the wise and the fool. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom exceeds folly, and light excels darkness, and the wise man's eyes are in his head. But the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. Let's pray. God, as we look at your word tonight, we just ask that the Holy Spirit help me in my presentation of the message, that I could do so without anything clouding my mind, that the Holy Spirit would be working in the hearts of our people here this evening, encouraging them, correcting them. Lord, that your will would be done and your name would be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, they use a different word. It says, hevel, hevel, everything is utterly hevel. And we get that from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. And in the New King James, it says, vanities of vanities, says the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanities. Well, the English Bible, it uses a couple different words, either vanity or meaningless. But it really doesn't capture the essence of this word that's being relayed to us in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word hevel means vapor or smoke. It's used 30 times in this text, 38 times, as a metaphor. It says that life is temporary or fleeting like smoke, or life is also like an enigma or a paradox. It's like smoke. It appears solid, but when you try to grab it or grasp it, there's nothing there. And so that's what they're talking about, this vanity of vanities, this hevel, hevel, that's what they're talking about there. You know, there's so much beauty and goodness in the world, but just when you're about ready to enjoy that, it seems like tragedy strikes. And it seems like it's all just blown away. I believe that we all have a really strong sense of justice. But all the time, bad things are happening to good people. And life is always unpredictable or unstable. Or like this teacher is saying, is like chasing the wind. Hovel. That's kind of a downer. Why is he saying this? Why is he using this word? Well, the author's basic goal is to target all the ways we try to find meaning and purpose in our lives apart from God. The author believes that we spend the majority of our lives investing in things that have no lasting value or significance in life. I want to share with you, I read a blog from the Babylon Bee. It is a satirical commentary, and this is their headline: Nation Repents of Thanksgiving with Day of Violent Pillaging. Let me read this for you. Unable to fake contentment and thankfulness for one more second, citizens across the nation awoke Friday and immediately set out on a frenzied mission to violently pillage and strip bare all nearby retail locations, determined to acquire and discounted goods they desired by any means necessary. Numerous reports confirmed. Pillagers beat each other with various weapons and instruments, wrestled on the floor like animals, and even exchanged gunfire in some locations, all in the name of taking hold of material goods they desired. Sources confirmed that the unfettered violence occurred less than 24 hours after these same people sat around tables with family and friends over large meals and gave thanks for the many blessings in their lives. 12 hours of gratefulness annually is way too much for the majority of humankind to stomach, experts revealed amidst the day's chaos. What we see on Black Friday is just human nature's standard guttural reaction to the annual tradition of acting like the world does not revolve around them for one whole day. Now, that is a satirical little paragraph, but it's true. That's the sad thing about it. It's true. You know what? I found this, and I wasn't even trying to find this, but I found this, and I just thought it was interesting, so I'm going to add it right here. On Black Friday, they actually have a death count. There has been 12 people that have died in Black Friday since 2006, with 117 serious injured. Now, to be serious injured, you had to spend 3 to 5 days in the hospital. And then that really spoke to me. Being in retail myself, I knew that there was always funny stories. They're funny as I read them, but they're not so funny to the person that it happened to. So I'm going to read just a couple of them. I worked for Macy's a great number of years, and during one particularly dark Black Friday, I saw a coworker get spit on by a customer who was unhappy with how long she had been waiting to purchase lipstick. I watched a little old lady pepper spray someone over a $2 towel. A lady came up to me to complain about how many people were in the store and said she couldn't get to the sale items she wanted because of the crowds. She asked if I could make everyone leave so that she could shop the sales in peace. I told her that wasn't possible. A few minutes later, the fire alarm went off and we had to evacuate the whole store. The fire department came and found the lady trying to shop. She had pulled the alarm to get everyone out so that she could shop in peace. Just so you know, she was arrested. In the text that we read, I'm just going to take a couple of these for us to really grasp onto. The first one is, to gratify my flesh with wine till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. Now, one thing as I was reading Ecclesiastes and thinking about one of the things that they say in there, that there's nothing new under the sun, that's so true. Because what was going on in this day is going on in this day. The same kind of thing, to get satisfied through drinking and through drugs and through being promiscuous and all those things that we think that we're going to gratify ourselves, and it's not. Another thing they said in verse 4, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which the water was growing trees of the grove. Now, if we watch TV today, I know back in the day, way, way, way back, probably before some of you were even born, they had a show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I lived in Arnsville, so this really intrigued me, because there's none of that in Arnsville. And so I'd watch them walk through these houses, and they'd show them all this stuff. I was like, wow. And then they start, hey, this, you see this countertop? You can only get this countertop from this native tribe in Zimbabwe and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, wow, that's pretty cool. But we're like that. Except we don't use, you know, we're not talking about this. They're talking about all the stuff that we do ourselves. That, hey, look what I did. Look how I've arrived. And that's what he's trying to convey to the reader. This is how we are perceived by other people. We have to be better. Our stuff has to be grander. Look what we have done. I acquired male and female servants. Now, if I did this, Sarah would be very happy that she'd have other people to help. Not that we don't help. And had servants born in my house. Yet I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. When you walk around and you talk about how grand you are, how much money you have, look what I got. When you look down at other people, this is what it's talking about. This all comes under this umbrella of Black Friday. But there's nothing wrong with Black Friday. But as Pastor talked about this morning, it's what's in the heart that makes Black Friday bad. It's how you go about the whole Black Friday business that makes it bad. How about this? I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of providences. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. It reminds me of an actor, I won't use his name, but on his son's 16th birthday, how he had all these special treasures. He bought him a Ferrari. He had this big name rock group come and sing for like 20 of his friends. That's ridiculous, but that's what kind of world we live in. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. When you walk around with a swagger that you're so much better than everyone else, this is what he's talking about in this text. Verse 10. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. We're like, hey, some people are like, I'm just working for the weekend. I can't wait for the weekend to get here. But Monday always comes. It always comes. I'm working real hard for my vacation. My vacation is going to be fantastic. But guess what? You have to go back to work. I like how he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 that it doesn't matter what you do, what grand things you do, what you're known for. Guess what? If you walk up on the mountain, in 1,000 years, the mountain's still going to be there, and no one's going to know about you. And the ocean's going to come, and it's going to splash its waves up on the beach. And everyone's going to know about the ocean, but they're not going to know anything about you. How do we know this to be true? Well, let me tell you. Because there's a great fire of a big library in ancient times that burned lots of the greatest books that were ever written. All the vast knowledge that they knew before that we didn't have, that we had to relearn. That's how I know that's true. Besides the Bible being true. Doesn't it sound like America? That scripture really, it sounds like they have an average American person. Did you know that 28% of the charges people made last year during Black Friday are still on people's credit cards? That blows my mind. It's maddening. I remember one Christmas that we were at Sarah's parents' house. And the kids were all gathered around the tree. And I mean, they were so excited. You know how kids are. They're so excited to open presents. And David and Gwen, Sarah's mom and dad, did a fantastic job of buying these presents. They spent more money than I would have, but that's what grandpas and grandmas do. They spend money. Not only that, but the presents looked nice. I mean, they used really pretty wrapping paper. They use these really nice ribbons. And, you know, we have this thing that no one can touch a present until they tell them to go. But I know my boys and Emily's kids, they're really, really excited. Well, paper started to fly. And they ripped into all their packages, so excited. And, you know, as I said, the gifts cost a lot of money, and they were really well wrapped. And all of them, they were going through them all and doing their thing and looking at them. And I remember at the end, one of the kids said, I'm not going to tell you which one it was. It wasn't mine. One of the kids said, is this all there is? You know, eventually some of you have experienced that. Many of us have unwrapped life and we want to know if this is all there is. Well, in Ecclesiastes 12, we're getting the culmination of what happens when this is your lifestyle and what we can do about it. How can we change that? Well, he tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll start with verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. That was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. A goad is usually on the bottom of their staff. It'd be sharp. And they do it to not inflict a lot of pain, but to let them know that you're there and to get them to move. Verse 12, and further, my son, he admonished by these, of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I find this ironic because Jesus said the same thing. He said, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The same idea of how to live a life that gives you purpose and meaning we can find throughout God's whole world. Blaise Pascal in the 1600s wrote this, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator made known through Jesus Christ. You know, as a young man, I think I was in eighth grade, my aunt and uncle needed help moving from Dallas-Fort Worth to California. And the only reason I went is they said they would take me to Disneyland. I would help them move all their stuff if they took me to Disneyland. And I know I was really excited about going there, but they wanted to take me to one particular ride, and it was called It's a Small World After All. Have you ever taken your kids to that, It's a Small World After All? I remember that ride very, very well. You go around and you visit these different cultures and nations, and you see different children. They're dressed in different ways, and they're singing the same song. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small, small world. Haven't heard it since I was in eighth grade, but I still know it. The first time I went through that, I was mesmerized. I was like, well, that is so cool. Well, the second time I went through it, it was just tolerable. And the third time, it started to get on my nerves. I think they knew that. And the fourth time, I wanted to jump out in the water and swim back because the small world being sung by those small people was driving me to insanity. Life can be that way sometimes. It can be like a really small world. Sometimes it can feel like you can't break out and see some things happen or unfold like you think things ought to. Many of us are living lives of want, lives of dissatisfaction. We want more, and the world's too small. Every time we think we've found the thing we want, up pops a temporary sign to let us know it won't be around too long. There's one experience after another, one disappointment after another, one strain and struggle after another, and we are just not satisfied. And we'll soon discover that when we've lived long enough, there is no friendship, championship, scholarship, relationship, ownership, or fellowship that can fully satisfy our wants except for the personhood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And as we talk about Scripture, and we communicate to one another about stuff, this is the stuff that God deems important. That we have what other people want and desire. I was very lucky this past week. I have a couple of friends at the farmer's market that I've been sharing my faith with. And they invited me over to their house on Saturday, and I got to spend a whole hour talking with them and listening to their story. He just has gotten out of some very serious cancer surgery, and he's not healing as fast as he wants. And his wife just had knee surgery, and she's not her knee's crooked, and it's not bending right. And so they're going through a really desperate time. And so to hear them talk about how life is miserable, that gives me a chance to tell them, hey, life's not miserable. You don't have to go through that alone. We talked about this morning, too, a little bit in Sunday school class. And I think it's a very important point that I want to share. God tells us that we should communicate with our brothers and sisters, that we're supposed to share hurts and sorrows with one another. And it's important because when we all keep that to ourselves, it shows the church body that we're perfect and we're not perfect. And those people out there that are really hurting and really needing don't want to come and share because everyone else is perfect and they're the only ones that are going through this trial and tribulation, and it's a lie. It's a lie of Satan to keep our church from growing. When we go through sadness, when we go through where we think we need stuff, or the stuff that we think we need is not coming fast enough, that God's not answering prayers fast enough, well, they just haven't heard the situation you've been through yet and how God uses bad situations for His glory and honor. We learned this morning that that Jews, because of Jacob being touched on the hip and the muscle shrinking up on his thigh, that they can't eat chicken thighs. Why would they can't eat? Why? Because it's showing them the importance of what God was teaching them. And as Pastor said this morning, as we go through life and we're reading our Bible and we're meditating on what it says, what is the meaning of it? What's the purpose of it? To give God glory and praise. How do we do that? Obeying. Now, I expect my son to obey. When I tell him that this is what I want him to do, I just expect him to do it. And I get aggravated as a dad when I give him explicit instructions, I want you to do this, and he doesn't do it. That irritates me. I'm so glad God's not like me. Because when I mess up, I want him to be extra merciful towards me. But see, we don't look at it the same way God looks at it. That's why he's perfect. That's why when we're going through a hard situation and we're like, well, I don't deserve that, or I should be able to get that, and God's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're saying. We have to trust in God's word, and that's hard to do sometimes. Why is it hard to do sometimes? Because, I'm going to go back to my first point. Because if none of God's people are encouraging you through the difficulties that they have been going through, how do you know God works? How do you know God's works? And he says it because he says that if we don't praise him, if we don't give him his recognition, the very rocks will cry out and do it. We should be the very first people to love on and encourage others. When we have prayer time tonight, afterwards, we shouldn't leave because people need prayer. Right? I hope people need prayer. I need prayer. I wish for a lot of things. We're so happy that Jeff Wallace got saved. What about his son James? His son James needs saved too. As we have our meeting and John tells us about the youth, and not only youth, but the youth and their parents that need saved. We pray about those things. or my nephews and my brother-in-law that need saved. There's great needs here. How about Jacksonville? Pastor said he walked out on Black Friday and looked at Walmart. You realize that most people in there aren't saved? Most people in that store are not saved. What are we doing about it? The purpose of our text tonight was to show us inwardly that there's more to life than stuff. There's more important things than the stuff that we think. A new iPhone, a new computer, new clothes, new hairdo, all the things that we want. Not those things aren't bad. But in relationship to the needs of God's people and the needs of the unsaved, they're very diminished. So think about those things tonight. God wants the best for us. And this is a great thing. He made me who I am with all my faults to bring him glory. And you the same. You're not like me, praise the Lord. Sam, she is gone now, but she brought me this little thing that I set on my desk. It says, "Thank God I'm not a twin." He only made one of me. Thank the Lord for that. They couldn't handle two of me, so they just have one. But it's the same that he gave me certain unique abilities to make me who I am. That makes me have the ability to reach a certain group of people. And you have those same gifts. They're different than mine. Use them for God's glory. Because it says at the end, let's go back to, at the very end, it says this. In chapter 12. "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." When we're praying at home alone about the needs that we feel that other people have, that's what they're talking about right there. Those are the secret things that no one knows about. As well as when we're home alone and no one knows what we're doing and it doesn't please God, those are also the secret things that he's talking about. God knows. So take what he gives us and use it for his glory. Let's pray. Father, as we have talked tonight about stuff, and more stuff, we have everything at our fingertips. We can Google whatever we want. We can have every desire of our heart, but what you really want is what is on the inside, our love and compassion for you. Lord, help us to be sincere about our relationship with you, so that through it, we can bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.